Reading of John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He has seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Child is this who's laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch unheeding. This myth is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
Jesus, the light that gives life. My wife told you a little bit about Johann Heinrich Wichen, pastor in Germany. In the 1830s, there was many children. There was a world, the world was a very dark place. Many children on the streets. They didn't have a bed. They didn't have any food. They didn't have proper clothing. No roof over their heads. But into their darkness, the darkness of their world, light appeared. Light in the form of a young Christian man, Pastor Johann, who loved these children. There were other orphanages, but the Raues Haus, that's the name of the homes that Pastor Johann founded, Advent, during Advent, 1833, was different. His children's homes were patterned after the family structure, the children receiving a mother and a father. And so more than just giving these children a meal or a bed, Pastor Johann and his team gave these children love. Love came as light, penetrating into the darkness of these children's worlds. And through this light came life, a new beginning for these children. The text that Rob read, the beginning of the Gospel of John, is also about light entering darkness. You see, at the beginning of time, darkness covered the earth. But God spoke a word. In fact, his first words in the Bible were, "Let there be light." Let there be light. And for the first time, light entered into our dark world. Over 2,000 years ago, light entered our world again. And his name is Jesus Christ. John calls him the Word. The Greek word is logos. For his Greek and Roman readers, this term logos had great depth of meaning. For you see, all the great philosophers, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, had written much about this logos, this truth, reason, reality. In fact, even the guiding principle, the intrinsic ordering principle of the cosmos. For the Jews, the Word of God was also very important. For how did God create the world? Through his Word. God spoke, and day after day it came to be. Now, John says, Jesus is this Word, the Logos. Jesus is the truth, John says. He is the one who orders and maintains the entire universe. Jesus is the one through whom God created all things. You see, Jesus is unique. All of us, our existence began at birth in this world. But Jesus is different. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Before any angel, before any human being had ever been created or existed, Jesus was. And not only does John say that Jesus was with God, but Jesus was God. Fully equal to God, his Father. Together with God, Jesus created everything that exists. Every single human being, all the angels, nothing that exists today was created apart from Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus also created light. At the beginning of time, Jesus created life. He gave us life. But within a short time, the world had become a very dark place. There was still sunlight. There was still biological life on the earth. But spiritually speaking, darkness covered the earth. Violence, rebellion, greed, lust, corruption, pride. All the sins, all the vices that accompany these things made this world a very dark place. What is the story of Christmas? The story of Christmas is the story of light. Light entering into the darkness of our world. Christmas is the celebration of a God who does not stand far removed from our darkness. He does not stand far off. But the Christmas is the story of a God who enters into our darkness. Christmas is the story of a God who enters into our suffering, enters into our pain. John puts it this way. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, over the last few weeks, our church, as well as many other churches throughout the entire world, we've been studying the story of Christmas. You know, the appearance of the angels to Mary and to Joseph, telling them of the birth of a Savior. The shepherds in the field seeing the angels and going to see this babe in a manger. The wise men who see a star and travel from afar in order to come and worship the King. Well, John's story of Jesus' birth is expressed in just four words. Four words. The Word became flesh. Four words. The Word became flesh. And yet in these four words lies the greatest mystery of all time. The God who ruled from his heavenly throne came down to earth and was born in a manger. The God who was eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, took on himself a mortal human body in all of its weakness, in all of its frailty. He came into this world as you and I. He had to learn everything as a newborn baby, just as you and I do. The theological term for this event is incarnation. Incarne, in flesh. God became flesh, Jesus, fully God, fully man. What an amazing truth. What a divine mystery. We do not pretend to fully understand it, and yet we accept it in faith. To the one who says, I can't believe what I don't understand, I would tell you, you will only begin to understand once you believe. And why did Jesus do it? Why would Jesus leave the majesty and the perfection of heaven in order to enter into our misery, our wickedness? It's because of his love. Out of love, God created you and me. Out of love, God gave us life. And it was also out of love that Jesus sent a Savior to you and to me. Jesus came into this dark world in order to transform the darkness of the hatred and the lies of this world with the light of his love and his truth. There's a great quote, I don't know if you've heard of this before. Someone once said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. And I would add, in these times, if our greatest need had been government reform, God would have sent us a politician. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Many great teachers, scientists, economists, entertainers and politicians, they've come and they've gone. Yet the darkness of this world remains. There's only one person in the history of mankind that attacked the root of our problem. The root of all darkness in this world is our sin. And there's only one person throughout humanity who took care of our sin. It's Jesus Christ. In our text, John records this unbelievable tragedy. Light came into the world and darkness hated the light. The Creator entered into his creation and the creatures rejected him. God became one of us like you and me, and we took him and we killed him. We nailed him to a cross. On that day, as the light of the world hung and bled for us, darkness overcame the land. In the middle of the day, it became dark for 3 hours. And this was God's way of saying, I'm taking your darkness. I'm placing your darkness upon my Son so that you might receive my light. You see, it was on the cross that Jesus took our separation from God upon himself. Jesus himself was separated from the Father so that he might unite us as one with God and give us peace with God. On the cross, Jesus took our suffering, our misery upon himself, so that he might give us joy, he might give us hope. Ultimately, Jesus paid the highest cost. He died in order to give you life. It was there at the cross when it seemed that the light of this world would be snuffed out, would be swallowed up in darkness. precisely there at the cross was where light's greatest victory over the darkness took place. Amen. How great is our God. And today, many people reject the good news of Jesus, our Savior, salvation through Jesus Christ. But as John says, if we receive him, whoever receives him, that is, whoever believes in his name, the name of Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, whoever believes in him, you will receive life. You will be called a child of God. You will be born again, God's Holy Spirit. You will be born of God's Spirit, a new beginning, a new creature. And thus we see the wisdom of God, that the mystery of the incarnation doesn't stop with Jesus, but it continues on up until our day. You see, because not only did Jesus enter into our world 2,000 years ago, but now he comes to live inside of you and me, if we believe in him. Not only did the light of Christ shine in this dark world 2,000 years ago, but Jesus wants to shine his light into the darkness of your heart, the darkness of your life today. Christmas is a celebration of our God, a God who chooses not to remain far removed from our darkness, but our God chooses to enter into our darkness in order to penetrate it, in order to overcome it, in order to transform it with his light. We all know the power of light, how just a little bit of light lightens up a room. Light is more powerful than darkness. In the same way, God wants to light up your heart, to light up your life through the power of his love, the light of his love. God loves you too much to leave you in the darkness. He wants to give you new life through the light of his presence, to transform the darkness of your life through the light of his love, of his word. So the big question is, have you let him in? Have you let God in to your life? You must let God in if you want the light that he gives. After this message, we're going to sing a final song, Silent Night, unsurprising. And we'll close the service with by lighting candles together. And if you're here and you want God's light to come into your life, into the darkness of your life in a new way, then I want this candle lighting ceremony to be something more than just lighting a candle and singing a song. If you're here and you want God's light, more of God in your life, you want his light to come into your darkness, I want to ask you to light your candle as a symbol of that commitment you're making to him this evening, this Christmas. A symbol you're making to let God into your life and allow his light, the light of his love, his presence, to transform the darkness of your life. You know, we heard the story throughout the service of Pastor Johann, the inventor of the Advent wreath, Pastor Johann Hinrich Wichern. And Pastor Johann is a great example of someone who not only was himself transformed by God's light, but in turn he shared this light with others. He shined this light in the lives of others, and God used him to change others. You see, Jesus not only said, "I am the light of the world," but to his disciples, what did Jesus say? "You are the light of the world." So Jesus is no longer here on earth, at least not in bodily form, physically in one body. Jesus is no longer here. How does God penetrate the darkness of our world today? Well, you're looking at it. It's through you. It's through me. Through those of us who follow after Jesus. We are the light of this world. When we share his love with others, when we share the truth of God's word with others, then the light of God shines and overcomes the darkness of this world. So if you're here this evening and God's light already shines in your heart, then praise God. But I also want to ask you to make a commitment, for us to make a commitment. We're going to use the light of this Advent wreath to light our candles. And one by one, all of our candles will be lit until this whole room is lit up. Isn't that a great picture of what it means to be a light, the light of the world? That we are called to spread our light until this whole world is lit up with God's light. So if you believe in Jesus, I'm asking you to use this candlelight ceremony at the close of this service as a symbol of your commitment to share your light, to share your light with others. Jesus told us not to hide our lights, but to set them on display for the world to see. So if you've received Christ's light, don't hide it. Share it with others. May the light of God, through which this world was created and which came into our world on that silent night over 2,000 years ago, now shine bright in your hearts through knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. And may the light of Christ shine through you to others so that they too would be light, and together we may overcome the darkness of this world with the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Silent Night.